Cool. So, welcome to the call. I'm very happy you guys are here. I'm excited to share some juicy Ayurveda info, and I'm really excited about this topic. I had fun putting it together and learning more for myself and learning more for you guys and just kind of like digging into it because I think this is a really cool topic that so many of us can gain from. And something I feel like a lot of people, like, unless you're, like, really into Ayurveda, you've probably never heard of it. And so when you start kind of, like, diving in or just, like, getting into, like, the curiosity of, like, what ojas are, you can uncover a lot for your own, like, greater good. So thanks for being here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Anna Welly, and I practice Ayurveda. I'm a yoga health coach, which is basically practicing the principles of Ayurveda and the lifestyle of Ayurveda, and training through kind of like a coaching mechanism in a 10-week program where you can like really, in a really supportive, like guided manner, take on the changes that you want to make and through like some really like key basic principles of Ayurveda living. And I also practice Reiki. And yeah, I started practicing Ayurveda the last couple of years. I studied with Kerala Academy in South Bay of San Francisco and did some internships in India about a year ago. And I love it. I think Ayurveda is awesome, and there's so much to like learn from it and gain from it. And I'm so pumped that I get to do this with you guys. I'm happy you're here. A little background on ojas. Is basically ojas is the essence of kapha. And kapha is one of the three doshas of Ayurveda that we use and we experience in all the different realms of nature. The three doshas are vata, pitta, and kapha. And each one of those represent a different combination of the elements of space, air, fire, water, and earth. And kapha mainly represents water and earth, and these different energies are predominant throughout the different times of day, the different seasons of the year, the different cycles of the moon, your own moon cycles, and different lifetimes, different stages of life that you're going through, different areas of the world, you know. If you live in a desert, it's going to be a lot of vata and pitta. It's hot and dry. And if you live in Seattle, there's a lot of kapha nature there. It's like moist and wet and cool. Winter, springtime, when the snow is melting and the ground is really heavy and wet and like muddy and sticky, it's very kapha time of year. So we're going to touch a lot about that, about these kind of like changing of the energies and time and elements, and how to link more into the kapha nature, to link into the subtle essence of ojas. So ojas is the more subtle expression of kapha. Prana is the more subtle expression of vata. I think maybe some of you, especially if you have a yoga practice, you've probably heard of prana, which is the vitality, kind of like vital life force within us, and it's really expressed and experienced in our breath. And tejas is the fire, and tejas comes from pitta, and pitta is a really, really, tejas is a really, really subtle fire that is experienced more on a cellular level. And when we have vata, pitta, and kapha all in a harmonious balance and in a flow, then from there, prana, tejas, and ojas can really be exemplified and create its own harmonic balance. And depending on your own personal balance, you acquire a different, unique balance of how much prana, tejas, and ojas that you have. So if you already have more kapha, more earth and water in your body, you're probably already going to have more ojas. And if you have more vata, if you're more thin or light or dry, if you have a lot of activity, a lot on the move, or you're easily excited and like joyful or content towards like anxiety or worry, you're going to have less ojas and more prana, and it's going to be a little bit harder for you to create your ojas, so it's going to be really important for you that you do because it helps to balance you. And I have this really beautiful quote from Dr. Vasant Laud in the textbook of Ayurveda. He says, "The spiritual energy of ojas becomes a person's aura, while tejas manifest as the different colors of the aura, and prana governs the vibration of the auric field. Kundalini, the spiritual energy, yields prana, tejas, and the ojas, and radically transforms the individual, whereby ojas becomes pure soma, tejas becomes supreme intelligence, and prana becomes a bridge between the individual and the cosmos. Hence, Analia, the cosmic prana, jhana, intelligence, and soma, the cosmic plasma, are the superfine products of prana, tejas, and ojas. These yield into pure bliss. This bliss becomes tangible, percolating throughout the body, and every neuron becomes a bliss molecule." That's from Vasant Laud, and I think that's really sweet. So, ojas is awesome, and it's really important for us to create this in our body and in a physical level, but then even, as we said, it creates bliss, and every neuron can become a bliss molecule throughout us. So let's tap into ojas. But what I wanted to think about or talk about first is what can happen when we don't have ojas and how we experience in that in our body or our minds or our life, and what that can, how it can really be costing us and affecting our ability to thrive. And one of those symptoms that I want to touch upon is low immunity, because ojas is the closest thing in Ayurveda related to immunity and that concept of immunity. And low immunity is basically that ability to get sick. And if you get sick really easily, it's like you're not able to show up how you want to. You're not able to feel your 100%, take care of yourself, take care of others that might be relying on you. You're not able to show up for work, whatever like kind of responsibilities or whatever you want to put out there, whatever you're ready to give and serve in the world. Like, if you have low immunity and your weakness is to drop ill frequently, it's like you're obviously not able to like thrive and take part in the world as you want to. And you also might even have this kind of like this like weak point. It's like when you get sick and you become kind of desperate and you might have to rely on pharmaceuticals, over-counter medicines that you don't necessarily believe in, which can also be a low point in having like not having those ojas built up. And it can be definitely like a challenge for a lot of people, and myself included. It's like you really get sick, it's like you can take drastic measures at times. So I feel like that's a really a big pain point to look at and to presence into, and to kind of like allow us to see the importance of building up our health and our immunity and our ojas to prevent these like situations from happening as often as they might. Another drawback of not having ojas is dullness. And it can be showing up in like dull skin, your dull eyes or hair, or just a feeling of being dull, like the kind of like missing the shine or the glow or like that juiciness of life. And if it's not showing up in your physical sense, that's probably also what's happening on the more internal realm as well. And so it's like you see people that have that like beautiful glow and sparkle and that like shimmer in their eyes or that like really lustrous hair, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I want that. Like, I think that's totally fair to say that, you know, it might sound superficial or like judgmental or something, but I think that's totally fair to say that we desire these like beautiful feelings of having that like super like luscious essence or that like super shiny hair and these like strong nails. And it's important for us to, like, if desire those too, because it's, like, desiring greater health and well-being. And if you're dull on the outside or the inside, it's, like, you're tired, you're worn out, it's like you're not doing much good, you're not feeling like confident, and you're probably like worn out, stressed out, overwhelmed, uninspired, and just like not really feeling the love from life. And if you're not feeling that life is here to love you, it's like you're not tapped in and experiencing that like basic birthright of having the joy and love that's meant for us, that's here for us. That's why we're, you know, we're here. So it's, if you're off, it's like costing you your bliss, really. And it's not to say that we can't ever feel the downs or like the struggles or the pains and the kind of like resistances that give us that opportunity to like break through the struggle and transform and uplift ourselves. But it's more about the underlying like baseline level of where you're at. And if you're feeling dull or like in the blahs, like you have an opportunity to change that and have your underlying like base foundational emotional or mental feeling or like heart space of being in a place of glow, of bliss, of love, and of joy. Like that's most certainly possible for everyone. The next pain point I think is, that's good to touch on, is your libido, your sex drive, or your like sensuality. And as far as looking at sensuality, it can just be related to pleasure and intimacy, but also it's, to me, it's like pleasure that you derive from all of your senses, from tasting and touching, seeing, hearing, and smelling. And having low sensuality means like little to no enjoyment, basically, which is a pretty huge bummer if you're not really tapped into your senses and the enjoyment and pleasure that you can take from them. It's also like reflecting on your kind of like basic underlying enjoyment of life. And we're here to enjoy. Like we're here to have the potential to enjoy quite a lot that's around us and surrounding us. And I think life's here to show us a lot of things to be, to feel blessed by and feel loved with, even if it's just like, you know, like your morning shower. Or that fresh, like, scent of a flower that you walk by on your way to work, whatever it is, to be, like, tapped into that and tapped into, like, the pure, like, joy and pleasure of your senses. And the more often that you are, it's, like, the more blissed out you'll feel and the more glow you have and the more you kind of, like, can ride from that and create that mentality of pleasure and joy that will ripple out into your life, into the vibratory field that you create and helps create more of it. And as far as low libido, it's if you're not building and experiencing that reserve of the ojas and you're experiencing low libido, it's in a partnership, I think that there's a pretty big chance that it could be costing some level of stress in the relationship. And even if it's on a small level, it's like that might be creating a challenge in bringing in like more intimacy and connection, and it can be as big as like potentially costing the relationship. So the factors about it, about not having the libido and not having ojas, can get pretty huge, you know. Rebound is another topic I want to touch on, and low ojas is kind of like your ability to like bounce back from things like stress or hardship, anything that shows up in your life, even if it's just like you push it really hard in your exercise activities, or you get sick, or you have a night without good sleep, or maybe you go on like a long trip or have a lot of travel to do. You have a stressful workload. If you're taking care of like young kids without any time for self-care, if you just have a really big weekend and go really hard or whatever it is, like, you know, pack on the activities, taking too many stimulants or drinking a lot of coffee are all potential things that can, like, run you down and burn you out and deplete your ojas. And if you already have low ojas, then this can, like, burn you out really quickly. If you have a reserve built up, it's like these type of things aren't going to hold you back that hard, or it won't take you long to rebound and to recover from them. Say, like, if a neighbor's dog is, like, barking, and keeping you up all night. And the next day, if you feel like totally wrecked or just like super crabby or you're like super run down from it, it's like you probably have a really low reserve of ojas or little to none. But if you're kept up all night and you can wake up and like make it through your day to like a decent extent or even still enjoy the day, your level of ojas is probably pretty good. You're probably doing fine. I wanted to read again from the textbook of Ayurveda from Basant Lad. He has quite a list of signs and symptoms of displaced or decreased ojas, and I want to step upon it because it's huge. Like, this topic is so huge. And so some of the signs and symptoms of displaced or decreased ojas include significant fluctuations in emotions, anxiety, stress, loose joints, stiffness in extremities, inadequately nourished tissues, blocked thinking, chronic vata disorders, transient loss of consciousness, confusion, irrelevant talk, extreme fatigue, senses become weak, undue fear, worry, anxiety, lack of zeal, loss of confidence, tension, fear of unknown, lack of clarity, chest pain, palpitations, dry skin, dehydration, dullness, pallor, lack of luster, thin and emaciated body, poor mental ability, hyperactive mind, poor memory, repeated flu, repeated colds and coughs, bronchitis, tonsillitis, susceptibility to infections, repeated allergy attacks, hypoglycemia, breathlessness, fear, muscle wasting, osteoporosis, chronic fatigue syndrome, hepatitis C, AIDS, coma, fever, septicemia or hematomia, impaired tissue function, chronic, person may suddenly stop talking, the list goes on. And so there's a lot linked to the depletion of this. And so I think there's a lot of room for us to work on this and create better health. So if you guys have, I want to do a little exercise with you. If you have a pen and a piece of paper nearby, I would love for you to grab it and like to be able to jot down some notes. I have a basic question that I like to use working in these like coaching, these 10-week program, these coaching groups to refer to measure our progress. And what I'd like for you guys to think about is, how do you feel when you first wake up in the morning? And if you can remember how you felt this morning, that's great. And this is also something that you can use in the future to kind of just like track your own progress and kind of reflect back on like the karma of your decisions that you made for the day and just kind of presence into maybe what that felt like to eat a pint of ice cream at 10 p.m. or versus what it felt like to do a nice little walk at 6 o'clock versus what it felt like to maybe push yourself too hard at the gym or whatever it is. So how do you feel when you first wake up in the morning? When you're laying in bed, and maybe you're just kind of getting ready to open your eyes and just like presencing into what it's like in your body, mind, and spirit. So how does your body feel? Are you heavy, drained, exhausted, stiff, tired, slow, or maybe light, clear, refreshed, rested, strong, or vibrant? And you can definitely find your own words or even draw a picture or make a symbol, whatever feels good to you. How does your mind feel? Are you excited, content, peaceful, inspired, loving, joyous? Maybe a little worried, disappointed, you feel challenged, sad, stressed, burnt out, overwhelmed? And how does your soul, your spirit, or your heart feel? Is it expansive, overflowing, abundant, connected, loved, or loving? Do you feel part of a great mystery? Or do you have room to feel more that space of yourself? Cool. So this was just a really nice, like, simple exercise to use to kind of, like, track your progress and see where you want to make improvement and kind of tap into the expansive, more palatable, changeable energies of the morning as well. And you can feel into where you're at, and you can also, with that presencing, get clear on where you want to shift and create the shift as well, which I think is really cool. And I think bringing awareness into ourselves and, like, noticing where we're at is just one of the first steps to creating that change. And when you have the desire, you're one step closer, and then knowing what action to take is, like, one of, like, the third most, like, important steps. And using it consistently is a really awesome tracking tool to create change for yourself or just bring in that awareness. So, yeah, there's definitely some very tangible action steps to take, and Ayurveda has, like, a lot of advice for us in creating this, like, glow and strength and stamina and compassion, juicy bliss of ojas. And before we jump into that, I want to give you one example of how I, like, burnt myself out so hardcore last year, and how I, like, slowly had to be back my ojas. I knew it. I was just like, oh my god, I just depleted my reserve so bad, and I was feeling it so hard. Last summer, I went on vacation to Jackson, Wyoming for a week, and I hung out with a bunch of friends and went camping and rafting and tubing and hot springs and partied and, like, whatever. I had an awesome week. And then I came back to California for a few days, and then I flew out to Minnesota for my sister's wedding, which was awesome. And it was a lot of celebration and, like, throwing my self-care out the window, which was fine. It was totally worth it. And it was time to celebrate and be with family and focus on that. And so we drank a lot of champagne and had a beautiful experience, beautiful wedding and union with my sister and husband. And then I came back home for a few days, and then I went out to Burning Man. And if you guys know Burning Man and can just picture, like, it's like the epitome of vata and pitta overload. It's like in the desert, it's hot, it's dry, it's crazy, wild, it's like nonstop activity and randomness, and it's so fun and so intense, and it is really hard on the system. And after, I don't know, 7 days in the desert and, like, running around and biking and dancing and partying and not really sleeping at all, it's like, basically, it knocked me down pretty hard. And I came home, and I think I slept for, like, a couple of days straight, and it took me even, like, until the third day before I could slowly start to, like, detangle the, like, knotted, dusty dread that my hair had become. And I was so worn out. I was so burnt out. Like, my ojas were gone. I was so far depleted, and I could feel it, and I knew it. And I had meant to go to, like, another festival, and, like, 2 weeks after that, and I just knew. I was like, it's not in my game for me right now. Like, I need to, like, rest and, like, rebuild my system. And I have really high vata in myself already, so if I go too hard or too fast, I can feel it, and I know it's, like, important for me to, like, make sure my immunity and my sense of self strength stays, like, really rested and like, juiced up. So I stayed home, and I rested, and I ended up doing, like, a meditative retreat and coupling that with, like, a simple kind of cleanse. It's, like, a really high prana diet that was, like, super easy and nourishing to eat. And it wasn't until literally, like, a month later after that expiration that I had, like, felt rested and revitalized, and then I had slowly, like, tapped back into creating that, like, reserve of my ojas and my glow. So life definitely happens, and even it's like no matter how much education you you know about this, it's like even how dedicated you are to like whatever the health world you're in, it's yeah, it's easy to like allow things to get out of hand or get taken away with the wind. So I thought I would share that with you guys. And the solution that I want to share with you is like I have three kind of basic strategies mapped out for you. And they include Dinacharya, which is our daily rhythm. And it's like a consistent schedule that is in line and in tune with the cycles of the earth, the sun and the moon, and like the rhythms of nature and that flow of the Vata Pitta Kapha energy, like how the elements flow and change in the cycles throughout the day, the season, and the year. And the second part of it is doing Abhyanga, a self-oil massage. And this third really like important practice we can create for ourselves to build our ojas is meditation, which can also be prayer or doing mantras and chanting. Sound bowls are really good for creating that vibratory essence in our field, our space. So let's drop into Dinacharya, which is a pretty big subject. It's not something that you can really just like completely change or transform overnight. It takes a lot of dedication and like slow, consistent change to really make a difference. But with as far as ojas go, it's definitely the number one most important thing to create a consistent, stabilized daily rhythm. And in that daily rhythm, to have it syncing up into specifically for ojas, to be tapped into the evening time and the kapha time of day from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m., linking into that kapha energy of slowing down and winding down. In this time of day, kapha, when the sun is going down and the energy is becoming a little bit more, just a little bit heavier, a little bit quieter. It's slowing and sinking more into the slower evening time. And kapha is earth and water. Kapha is heavy, sweet, slow, stable. It's cooling. It's ease and love, and it's simplicity and happiness. And so it's really important for us to get into that kapha energy and kapha nature and to build that up consistently to create that like stable reserve of like easefulness and to create that bliss. And so basically to make that happen, the Ayurvedic regime is to have an early and light dinner. Your main meal is around lunchtime when the sun is high and your fire and your stomach is high and strong. And so evening time, you can have an easy, light dinner, and that doesn't take up a lot of your time or energy or effort, nor does, like, the cleanup or, like, it's really easy. It's something slight, you know, light and simple. And then you can just relax and you can connect with people around you. Kapha is all about connection and love and the Kapha people are like people that love to get hugs and like love to give hugs and like are happy with big smiles and like big flushed cheeks, and they're just like so so easily amused and entertained and laugh easily. It's like that's the Kapha that you want. You want to float on the evening and have fun and like relax and hang out with people and maybe just go for like a really light, easy walk. You're not going to exercise hard. You're not going to, like, push it too far, like, rev up during that time of day. You're going to slow down and chill out and do a puzzle or, like, read your book, make a cup of tea and, like, cozy up and just really let yourself relax and unwind and take pleasure in the evening and take pleasure in your life. And potentially, too, as well, you create a really nice evening ritual, a routine that allows you to like plug into it more, especially if you have a stressful life, such as doing maybe some essential oils and taking a bath or creating some like beautiful self-care rituals. That's the most important part of the Dinacharya, to link into the ojas. And then the second part is to go to bed early, preferably around 10 p.m., so that when during that pitch time of night, pitches from the evening time is from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and when you're asleep during that time and you don't have a belly full of food from a heavy late dinner, but if you're eating early late dinner, your food has moved into the intestines, and so you've freed up that fire in the central of your belly to be allowed to be used as more of the lighter ethereal part of tejas that can metabolize and cleanse and burn through and transform everything on a cellular level, everything in a more subtle way, and to work throughout your the subtle tissues, the cells and organs throughout your body, and really break down and digest and transform and release everything and work in harmony with that ojas to create the subtle essence and bliss. And then through that deep restful time of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., you're able to wake up early and tap into the prana, the vata time of day, that expansive, ethereal, joyous, very palpable, spiritual time of the energy of the earth and the sun. And that's your prana, that's your heart and your spirit and that lightness, that creativity. And if you can sink into just those kind of like three simple parts of Dinacharya, especially that kapha evening, like that will be the key, the number one way to really start getting your glow on. The second part is to practice Abhyanga, which is your self-massage. And self-massage in Ayurveda, well, massage in general, especially oil massage, is huge in Ayurveda. They're, I can say, obsessed and feel confident about that. They're obsessed with oil massage, and it's for a good reason. It's awesome. Abhyanga can be translated as fearlessness and strength as well, which says something about the practice. And oil is also known as snehana, which is can also be translated as love. And so, in a way, rubbing oil on yourself in a really present, conscious, very intentional manner is a way of practicing fearless love or strengthening love. And that's really, really beautiful. I want to read a quote from the yoga health coaching manual that comes with the program that I'm teaching, and it's written by Kate Stillman, and she says about self-massage, you have one body. You can't replace it when it breaks down. The body runs on love and thrives on love. Ayurveda teaches that love is the vibration of consciousness as it comes into form. If you disrespect your body, if you dishonor your body, if you're critical or judgmental to your body, you're breaking things down. If you learn how to tend to your body's needs and desire for self-care, you stimulate regeneration, repair, and rejuvenation. And then she goes on to list some of the benefits of self-massage. And the benefits of rubbing oil all over your body include nourishes mind and body, rejuvenates the whole body, including the skin, increases longevity, delays aging, relieves fatigue, builds stamina, promotes deeper sleep, enhances complexion and luster of skin, enhances circulation and detoxification, releases stress, awakens the senses, recovers muscle fatigue, supports digestion, corrects blood pressure, and supports organ communication, shifts attitude into positivity, and teaches self-love and self-care, which is awesome. Even if you just do oil massage over your feet before bed, you are releasing tension from your day. You're stimulating your organs into detox. It makes your feet more flexible. It aids in deeper sleep and creates a sense of ease before rest. Oil massage is awesome. It basically is just like taking away that tension, anxiety, stress, insomnia, fear, and ungroundedness from your body. You're like literally rubbing all of those, the senses of your nervous system that end in your layer of your skin, all you're rubbing, you're like massaging the end of your nervous system. And then you're also like adding that oil to it, which is that like lubricating, grounding, very kapha quality and to like nurture, nourish, and repair it. And then you're adding that strength and luster, and you're strengthening the muscles and joints. And so basically to start your own Abhyanga practice, you can do it in the morning or evening before or after you shower. A lot of people like to do it before they shower. You rub the oil into your skin, usually start with your feet, and slowly work up the body and do like long, long, slow, steady strokes. And you can just, yeah, use as much pressure as what feels comfortable for you and cover the entire body and focus on any areas you get dry skin and use a circular motion over any major joints and make sure you focus a lot on the bottoms of your feet and any areas that you want to give like love and attention to your body. And then you can get into the shower and the warm water can help add moisture to pull it in. And if you do it after your shower, which is the way I prefer, I actually just dry off a little bit and then leave a little bit of water and moisture on my skin to, like, allow that to be more absorbed with the oil. And, yeah, it's you wait for a while before you put your pajamas on, then you avoid, let the body absorb the oil before you put on your pajamas, so you're not getting a lot of oil on your clothes. That's like the one major concern you want to think about is that the oil, it's not fully absorbed into your skin, that it can get onto your clothes or sheets or towels. So whatever towel you choose to sit on the floor too, as well as be careful that the oil, it's okay to get oil on your towels, whatever you choose. And as far as types of oil, people who have a tendency to feel more dry or cold, sesame oil is the best way to go. Or for the winter time, just during the colder time of year, sesame oil is a great choice. And in the summertime, or people who happen to have warmer tendencies in their body, you can use coconut oil. And for both of those, you want to use expeller pressed, like unrefined, totally natural oil. And then you can also go to just like any health food store and buy like all natural massage oils. And there's the plethora of options out there. I've been using one lately that has like an essential rose oil in it. It's so nice and it smells so good. I love it. So that's Abhyanga. And the last step for us to drop into is meditation. And like I was saying, your meditation can be anything from simply doing prayer or dropping into like a time of thanks, or just doing mantras or chanting or using sound bowls are specifically recommended for building your auric field and building the ojas through like that resonance field throughout your body. And because we just touched upon the kind of like the very super fine auric essence of ojas and the importance it plays in maintaining that auric field where prana and tejas play a part in creating like the color, movement, and luster in our field, I would like to do a brief aura meditation, a cleanse and protection, with all of you guys on the call today. So if you're ready and willing, if you're down to do a little aura meditation, I invite you to take a meditative posture. And actually, if you want to set your phone down and put it on speakerphone too, that's awesome. If you have like, if you're in a space where you can do that, if not, that's fine too. But go ahead and take a meditative posture. If you're sitting in a chair, you can place your feet flat on the ground. If you're sitting on the floor or bed, you can sit cross-legged if it feels good to you. And go ahead and let your feet sink full into your chair. And let your spine stretch tall. Stretch your head towards the sky. Let your shoulders roll back and down. Exhale any tension or stress you're holding on to. And slowly inhale and take in fresh prana, life force energy. Exhale and release your tension. Inhale and revitalize. Now bring your attention into the lower part of your body where you feel grounded and connected to the earth. And from this place, from your seat and your feet, I want you to visualize a large round cord surrounding your body. And this cord can be white or red, whatever it is for you. Just make sure it's thick enough to encompass your whole being. And allow this cord to drop down through the floor, through the ground, through the top layers of the earth, through the middle of the earth, and all the way down into the center, the core of the earth. And when you feel connected, tap into that. And allow everything in your body, in your auric field, to be cleansed and released down through this core and recycled back through into the center, the core of the earth. Everything drop away that you don't need, that's not yours. Everything that's no longer serving you. Allow it to be washed or rinsed away. And that feels complete. I invite you now to fill your body with light. And imagine light shining down from the central star to the crown of your head. And slowly or quickly fill your body with bright light, whatever color you choose. When you feel that your body is fully vibrating, full of fresh, healing light. Now I want you to presence into the auric space, the kind of energetic shell covering your body, the space surrounding you. And just feel into it and just examine what it's like for you. See if you can notice any spots that are really, really strong or maybe more dense, or any places there might be a rip or a tear or a hole where there might be energy leaking out. And as you examine and as you see it, start sending your light into the field, into your shell, and start repairing it and healing it. And if this means you need to call anything back to you, you can call your energy back into your field. Maybe you want to change your color and make it more blue, purple, whatever feels good to you. Just send that light and that energy into that space around you. Don't forget above you, behind you, and below you. And when this feels complete, I invite you to place a protective sort of shield that still allows the energy to be exchanged, but in a sense of where you have a layer of holding yourself in your space and to be discerning of what may come or go. And that shield could be a light layer of gold or silver surrounding the auric field, or it could be a flower placed out front, or the essence of a gem or stone or song or whatever feels good to you. And when you have that protection in place, I invite you just to sit and relax and enjoy this beautiful energetic field that you have created. A few deep breaths and breathe back into the space of our body. Awaken back into our physical self. And when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes and if you still have, you have a piece of paper and that pen handy from when you did the exercise on your morning feelings. I invite you to write down how you feel right now, and maybe things have shifted, and maybe you feel more ojas from that simple exercise. So, those are my, thank you guys for doing that. Those are my three solutions or three suggestions that we can use to create more of this juicy glow and feel more bliss and more pleasure and feel more love flowing through us in our life and have that really super, super fine moon essence with us. And I think the proof is hopefully in how you feel just after doing that exercise and the potential that you have for ojas to create yourself. And this is obviously a really brief exploration and a brief example of ways that we can explore this beauty of Ayurveda. And if you're curious about it, if you're sparked and you feel inspired, I really invite you to connect more with me and we can go a lot further. Go a lot further with a lot more with commitment and focus and clarity and desire on your part, and then also just the coaching and the guidance and support and feedback and knowledge and expertise that I can offer you, and then joining in like a co-evolutionary spirit of a sangha, a group of people working and changing and growing together and having fun can really make a massive difference in your plan to change and create more ojas or whatever it is that you're looking for in your the exploration of where you want to take your health and your body, mind, and spirit. And having a group especially has made a really big difference for me, and that's one thing that I'm really looking forward to offering in this new program that I'm putting out on April 13th is a group of 13 women going through this together and taking on these Ayurvedic changes of doing the Dinacharya piece by piece, doing Abhyanga, meditation, self-care practices, exercise, all from an Ayurvedic viewpoint, all just touched upon and focused upon for 10 weeks, but something that you can take on for a lifetime, continually changing and improving upon. So if you guys are interested in that or just want to connect more, I'm offering a few free strategy sessions the next couple of weeks. It's just like a 30-minute phone call we get to drop in and see where you're at in your personal health and what your goals are and see how I can potentially help you. And, yeah, I love to connect with everyone, and I'm so happy you're here. So if anybody has any questions or feedback, if you want to go ahead and unmute your line, and, yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys if you have anything that you want to share, any questions that you have on the topic. And thanks so much, everyone, for joining. I'm really happy you're all here. So, any questions out there?
Thank you so much.
you're welcome. Is that Margo?
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Margo. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I finally made it.
I'm really thankful how you explained the Dinacharya Kapha time and how it's a subtle manifestation of Kapha, and I really am taking that with me as a way to build Ojas, so I'm really grateful for that. That was kind of new to me. Thank you for your guidance here today.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Therese. Yeah, I'm really glad you got to join, and it's something that's like that, those different like rhythms of nature in the day, it definitely is. It's a bigger energy. It's, you know, it's the world. It's like earth and sun and the cosmos. But it's like, it's hard sometimes to tap into that because of the way our like egocentric or like society's energy goes. So we have these like resistances to like go against what society or what we're used to. And then also, like, what society is doing. So it feels like we have this, like, struggle of, like, going up against something to, like, actually drop into, like, what's bigger. But once you drop into what's bigger, it's, like, that's where you can really find that flow and that ease and that, like, that sinking in with something easier. So thanks. I like that you like that. So any other questions, or are you guys still good? I'm super glad you guys all came today. I'm so happy to, like, have you with, and I'm really thankful for your support and your encouragement and excitement. So if you guys have any other questions, you can email me or find me on Facebook and call me, and yeah, I look forward to talking to you all soon. And thanks so much for coming today. And I hope you have a beautiful day. And we see all the Ojas. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Ellie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.